Welcome to our episode of Revenue Chat. Today, Dr. Ruchna Jain joins us to discuss profitable popularity. She built three multi-six-figure internet businesses of her own and helps hundreds of clients build theirs. Her tagline is, because you deserve to be liked and rich, and it shows. Get your marketing and business advice and help from Dr. Jain next on Revenue Chat. Hi, everyone. This is Tony D'Urso with Revenue Chat. With us, we have Dr. Ruchna Jain, successful businesswoman and author of five books, including the popular Internet Marketing for the Rest of Us. Dr. Jain obtained her degree in clinical psychology, and she has internet marketing and profitability down to fine science. A few of her notable statistics are, she is named as one of the top small business bloggers by NSN.com. She is a contributing editor of the Hearst family of publications. She's quoted in more than 500 major media publications, including Entrepreneur Magazine, Forbes Inc., Fortune Small Business, the Chicago Tribune, USA Today, and the Washington Post, among many others. She appeared on NBC's Today Show. She successfully coached more than 1,000 clients in her career. She developed and created curriculum for four well-known coach training schools. She is the publisher of I Am for the Rest of Us digital magazine, which reached number 9 on iTunes at first publication, and much more. She's worked with some of the most well-known authors, speakers, consultants, and coaches in the world, such as Mark Victor Hansen. Her website is profitablepopularity.com. All right, let's get some marketing and business advice and help from Dr. Jain to help us get more popularity and rich. Hello, Ruchna. How are you?
I am well. Thank you, Tony. It's great to be here with you.
Oh, my pleasure. I am actually the one that's honored very much. Appreciate having you on this show. Thank you for taking the time to be with us.
Yes, I'm happy. I was looking forward to it all day.
Well, excellent day. It's my little Italian coming out. Ruchna, I mentioned a little bit about you. Perhaps you'd like to fill us in a little more on your roots and how you became an expert in your field. Would you please tell us, how did it all start for you?
Yes, absolutely. So I would definitely call myself an accidental entrepreneur. And the way that it started for me was I went through a very traditional educational background. So I have my doctorate in clinical psychology, as you mentioned. I got out of graduate school and I figured I'd just be working in private practice probably for someone, and that would just be the trajectory, you know, that I would just get a job and I would just work. I never thought about having my own business at all. And through a series of events, what basically happened is I worked in a private practice for a year while I was waiting to get my license. And then after I got licensed, I went back to negotiate a rate change and some more autonomy, which they agreed to. But then a month later, they retroactively rescinded, and I didn't have a contract in place yet, so I was faced with the choice of either staying at that location and having, you know, and working under kind of bad feelings and in bad circumstances, or making the leap and starting my own practice. So that actually happened on a Thursday, and the following Monday, I opened up my own practice. So in 2 days, I found office space, I contacted all of my patients, got phone lines, got a biller, got business cards made, and I opened for business the following Monday. And in retrospect, you know, everything's turned out fine, but at the time, I knew nothing about business. I really jumped into the frying pan and the fire probably all at once. And so it has been definitely a journey for me. I've learned a lot of things by trial and error. The way that I began online marketing was because I was actually too shy to market my psychology practice face-to-face. So I started studying about using the internet, and this was way back in 98. So the internet was actually about 2000. So the internet was new. And I learned how to put up web pages, and I learned how to start getting visitors from the search engines, and that was actually how I filled my psychology practice. And so from there, people began to ask me, you know, how do you use the internet to get clients? And I said, oh, you do this, and you do that, and you do that. And they said, no, I don't want to learn it from you. I want you to do it for me. And so in about 2003, I took on a handful of clients to see if I could actually help them grow their online businesses too. And that's what I've been doing ever since.
Wow, that is so cool. I love that. And by the way, it reminds me, I had a similar thing happen. I don't think I've ever mentioned this anywhere before, but one day working in the corporate world, my last day in the corporate world that I can think of was on Friday. We all got laid off, the whole company, because it was bought. And so I got a partner. I had a couple meetings. I did all sorts of things. And by Monday, I had my own business and I was making more money than at my job.
Yeah, so you know exactly that kind of when you need to, you have to take the risk and you have to kind of activate and make some decisions and just go for it.
Yeah, it can be scary, and I totally understand, and I congratulate you on your success on that. And let's get a little more into that, please. Let me start it off by asking, if people are thinking of starting or growing their business, what do you think is the most important element to focus on first?
Well, I think the overall element that you need to be really focused on is profitability right out of the gate. Too many business owners, especially when they start online businesses, they invest way more than they make. And so their business is, you know, in debt or in the hole before the business even gets off the ground. So you really want to focus on making your first dollar as fast as you can. And so your key area is to really look at validating your product or service idea by just trying to get your first client for that idea as soon as you can. And even though the internet is there and, you know, websites are there, it doesn't, you can even do that without having a website. If you're involved in social media, if you activate your local contacts and do some networking, you know, things like that, the important thing is to get your first client as quickly as you can to prove that your product or service idea is sound.
Okay. All right. Makes perfect sense. Get success as fast as possible. That also discourages the disappointment of failure and not wanting to go forward. As soon as one gets a client, you get that thrill, that victory, that adrenaline rush going, yeah, this is working. I can do this.
Absolutely. And, you know, and the other part, too, is that sometimes what people do is they feel that they have to have all of the structures and systems in place first. So they'll spend a lot of time building their business cards, a lot of time getting their website built. They'll agonize over whether the light blue in the header is too light or too dark or, you know, things like that. And the thing is the longer you the longer the distance between idea and implementation, the greater the worry and the greater the doubt. And so you start to become de-energized the longer it takes you to actually get out there and get your first client. And so, you know, people make it way more complicated than it needs to be in many cases.
You know, that's very interesting, very true. Many of my businesses, the truth is, the secret's now coming out, a little joke. Many of the businesses I've done never had a business card. In fact, my last business, no business card. And I'm reminded of one of my first forays into entrepreneurship while I was still working in the corporate world. I went and got a business card and I researched everything and I had this whole thing set up, and it's a slightly embarrassing story. We'll go into another time maybe, but I did all this preps and got cards and everything and never started the business. So, and I actually talk about a little bit about that from a different angle in my book, Easy Sales Procedures. You just got to just go out sometimes, just do it. And that means not having this and not needing this and not needing that or anything else, just doing it. So no, I like that. You got guts. That's good. And it shows.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, absolutely. And it's sort of like, in some ways, when you're just getting started in business, the thing that you're avoiding the most is actually the thing that you need to do first.
You're so right. So right. So let me ask you, you see businesses, from your point of view, you see so many businesses, you've helped so many businesses, your client list is amazing. What are three mistakes that you see businesses make, please?
Yes, absolutely. So the first mistake is that they focus on popularity over profitability, and that has gotten worse since the advent of social media. So if you keep in mind that I've been working online so long before social media even existed. And so what we saw is when Twitter started, Facebook started, LinkedIn started, there was this huge push, there was this huge shift from trying to build a profitable business to trying to build a popular business. And so the way that you see that show up a lot is you see that when people say things like, I'm going to build 10,000 Facebook fans, or I'm going to build a Twitter following of 100,000 people. But they have no plan, Tony. They have no plan for what they're actually going to offer those people or try to sell to those people. And I have worked with entrepreneurs who are excellent at building popularity. You know, one client I had came to me, and she had built a Twitter following of more than like 500,000 people. So she knew how to get attention. She knew how to build that popularity. The problem was that she didn't have a business model past that. So she didn't know what to sell them. She didn't know how to make the shift from just giving updates and good content, you know, good content information, to actually selling them something. And so so that's been a really, really big shift. So many times I'll have people, potential clients approach me, and I'll ask them what their goals are for their business, and their goals are all about visibility, which is great. Visibility is important. But what I always remind them is that visibility still requires effort to make a profit. So just to be visible does not make money rain into your bank account. So that's the first mistake I see, where people focus on popularity to the exclusion of everything else. The second mistake I see, and this has actually become even more important now as the internet matures and as social media matures, and this is really a trend that we're seeing, is that consumers, people are much more savvy and they're much more skeptical. So in the past, you could basically put up a sales page and you could send some people to it, and you're fairly certain that you would have sold something. Now what we see is that the cycle of sales online takes longer. And so the idea is really more about building relationships and earning the right to continue the conversation. So it's not so much about getting the first sale on the first visit, but it's about, you know, asking them to join your email list, asking them to continue the relationship with you so that you can continue to provide them value. It doesn't mean that you should just provide them value indefinitely and never offer them anything, but in general, we're seeing that there needs to be a longer process of cultivation before we see sales. So the mistake is trying to rush to the sale before you've given enough value and built enough relationship. That's the second mistake. And then the third mistake I see a lot is I see entrepreneurs over-investing in what technology can do for them without having a strategy. So they spend a lot of money on tools of marketing without actually having a strategy that underlies it. So the idea is that all the tools in the world exist for you to use. The tools are not the hard part. The more difficult part is trying to understand the strategy of how you're going to connect with your ideal client or target client. What is it you're going to say to them? How are you going to connect with them? How are you going to keep that conversation going? And then be able to earn the right to offer them a product or service that would be helpful to them. So the three mistakes are focusing on popularity at the exclusion of profitability. It would be trying to rush to the sale too quickly. And then I just drew a blank on what my third one was. Whatever I just said is my third one.
Building the relationship. That's cool. Building the relationship, yeah. Right? And
yes.
Not trying to sell someone else. Earn that right to continue communicating, which, by the way, I have a large following. It grows in leaps and bounds. And one of the first communications I get from a certain percentage or a certain group of the following is, hey, buy this. Oh, check this out. You know, it's something, it's salesy. It's like the first thing. It barely
right.
said, hello, how are you? And hey, buy this. What, you know, it's like, no, that's just not quite how it's done anymore. Maybe, you know, it's just not, you know, like in the European culture, which I think you understand a little bit, you know, different from the American culture, it's always the relationship first, and then you can sell second. And that's probably focus that I have is and that's what you're saying as well, is you've got to first be with somebody and exchange and have some communication and something happening before you say, oh, are you interested in this? Check this out. It's, you know, you don't go up to a stranger on the street and go, hey, buy my book, buy my this. It doesn't work that way.
Absolutely. You're totally right. And I think that's one of the things that social media has made, you know, kind of confusing. Because on one hand, we're all supposed to give status updates about what we're doing, you know, all the time. So the focus is all on us. But if we're using social media to build relationships and potentially build clients and income, we also need to be focused on them, you know, other people, at least some of the time. And so, you know, it's definitely a delicate balance. And if you do it right and you do it well, you definitely have the rewards from it. So those are what I would see as the mistakes that people make online.
Very good. All right. So now let's go to the flip side, please, and talk about the right order to build a business. What do you see as the right way? Because you have such great success. You've helped so many clients do it. So we want to hear what do you think is the best way to build a business, please?
Yeah, so I actually am the author of the book Internet Marketing for the Rest of Us, which I know you mentioned earlier. And in that book, I created a hierarchy that was based on Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Now, Abraham Maslow was a humanistic psychologist who built a hierarchy of needs that talked about that we have to meet our more basic needs first before we can meet our higher level needs. And in his hierarchy, he talks about that we need to have food, we need to have warmth and shelter, we need to have, you know, we need to sleep, be able to sleep, then we need to have relationships, then we need to have a feeling of safety and security, and he goes through this hierarchy. And so when I was writing my book, I began thinking that it's very similar in business as well. There's a hierarchy or a correct order. And so I created a hierarchy of needs for business. And so the first level is to create financial sustainability, which is, again, that profitability, having money coming in regularly. That's the first level, the basic level. After that, you're looking to grow your financial reserve. So you want to save some money. You want to have some reserve in case you need it or, you know, to fund your expansion or growth. Then you want to be looking at how you can grow your popularity, which is growing your relationships and community. Then, if you want to and you want to have a larger platform like you do, Tony, you'd want to then focus on building your platform. And then after that, you want to focus on creating your legacy. And this is a really important model because what I see often in new business owners is they start their business and they immediately start talking about legacy projects and their business is only like 2 weeks old or 2 months old. They haven't worked with anyone. They haven't made any money at all, and they're already talking about what their legacy is going to be or, like, wanting to contribute or something. And I'm all for contributing. You know, I donate time. I donate money. I'm all for contributing. But it's always better to contribute from a place of fullness, you know, not a place of emptiness or a place of you don't quite have everything going in your business and you can't really afford what it is you're trying to create. You see it a lot when you have new coaches or new consultants, and they try to put on these multi-speaker telesummits or video summits, and the idea being that they'll have a certain number of speakers, and then they will sell the recordings after that event. Now, sometimes it works, but typically speaking, those kinds of events are very difficult to pull off when you're very, very new in business, and people look at them as a visibility maximizer, a platform builder. And they may be all those things, but the, you know, behind the scenes, the story is that the money made from doing that is not proportional to the effort that was put in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So you always want to focus on building your finances and your financial security first, and then seeing how you can gradually open up to serving more people and becoming more well known.
Well said. Very good. Excellent points. Good, correct focus. I like that. Too many times people that don't have something want to give it versus just build your business and get it really good and then just let it grow. So I understand that very well, and that's a very good point to focus on. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go into what's your favorite part of being an entrepreneur, Rachna?
Well, that's a great question. There's actually two parts that I really, really love. The first part is the capacity to have an idea and then create something from that idea. So the kind of creative, inspirational part where you think, oh, that would be a really great service to offer people. And then you're able to put it together and then start offering it to people. And that process of iteratively testing it. So you learn, like, you know, is this going to work? Is that going to work? Oh, they don't like that. Oh, they like that. So that's one of my favorite things. And then the other part of it is really the lifestyle. I really, really like the freedom of being able to work when I want. You know, I've set up my business, as you have, to be location independent, so I'm able to work, you know, wherever I'd like to, which has been really, really fun, because there have been times where I've gone on, like, extended road trips. Like, I grew up on the East Coast, and I live there now, and I had never been to the Pacific Northwest, for example. And I'd always wanted to go, but I just never had an occasion to be out that way. And so one year I decided that, you know, I really wanted to go see Oregon and Washington State and all of the things like that. And so what I ended up doing was I ended up taking a road trip from the East Coast out that way. And I was able to work, you know, part of the day and then go and see the sites in Oregon and Washington State and, you know, all those things. And it was really the first time that I'd ever activated the kind of location-independent nature of my business. And it was really, really amazing. You know, it was amazing to feel like I could still do work, I could still be earning money, and I could then, you know, stop working and then be able to go and, you know, see all these beautiful sites. And I'm an avid digital photographer, so it was really great to be able to just go right out and be, you know, like go to Mount Hood or, you know, and just be out in nature and just taking pictures of the waterfalls at Multnomah Falls or going to Seattle and things like that. So, so I would say it's definitely the idea of being able to create from your ideas and then having the freedom and flexibility to be able to live, you know, your life however suits you.
That's interesting. You know, what I find the most interesting about that is, speaking from experience as well, being an entrepreneur, it seems like we have more freedom, but truth be told, we work more. We work longer hours. There's no more nights and weekends. It's all just a working blur sometimes, as opposed to the workaday corporate world of your steadfast, you know, 40 hours Monday to Friday. Yet, we work more, yet we seem to have fun, more fun, and we seem to believe that we have more freedom. Is that ironic?
You know, it is. I mean, it is. It is actually ironic. But, you know, I think it's really, maybe freedom is not exactly the right word, but it's actually maybe autonomy that we're talking about.
Yes.
So even though we work hard, and sometimes, yes, we definitely work harder than we might have in a 9-to-5 job or in the corporate world, I think it's the sense, I mean, what the psychology research shows is that when people have a sense of autonomy and self-agency, meaning they're able to act independently and do things that they choose to do kind of in their own interest, they're able to affect the world around them. Those people are the happiest people, no matter how difficult their life circumstances are. So I really do think that being an entrepreneur, even if we don't maybe work less and maybe we don't have, as you know, freedom in some sense, we tend to have more autonomy and more sense of agency. Like, we can create the things we want and we can do them in the way we want. And so if you're suited to entrepreneurship, I think that is a really big draw to be able to live that way.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It's the I'm in charge. I can do what I want. I love this. This is my passion. Time is not a factor anymore, actually. It's just I love doing this, and this is what I'm going to do, and that's it. So, yes, very cool. Let's talk about an entrepreneur starts a new business, accented on what we've mentioned before on the mistakes a business can make and the right way to build a business. But how can this new business, what are ways to get the first clients when you're starting off, please?
Yes, absolutely. So the thing that I like to think of it how I like to think of it, is that we all live in the center of a series of concentric circles. So in my immediate circle, I have my family, my close friends, you know, the people who I've known my whole life, and you know, that group. One circle out, it might be my professional contacts, maybe the people I go to the gym with, the people that, you know, I see or I interact with, but they're not as close or intimate as the people in the inner circle. And then I go progressively out. There might be people at my religious institution, people I run into at the grocery store, there might be people I meet at business networking meetings. But I believe we all live in the center of a series of concentric circles. And one thing that I always find, you know, I find it endearing, and I find it just kind of funny too, is that when somebody decides to build their business using the internet, they actually seem to forget in many cases that they already have a network of friends and family and acquaintances, one of whom might become their first client for that business. So I had worked, for instance, with a gentleman who was running a printing shop, and he had opened a printing shop, like a printing store, and was printing, you know, signs and banners and things like that. And he contacted me, and he said, you know, I would like to get more customers to my printing shop. And I said, okay, you know, that's great. So we talked about different ways he could do that. And what came out of it was that he had actually some good connections from his church, that he knew people who ran companies that had printing needs. And it just never occurred to him, because he said, well, I wanted to get them from the internet. And I said, okay, but it doesn't really matter how you get clients if you get clients. So why don't we start activating your concentric circles of people that you're already connected to at least get your business going, and then maybe we bring on, you know, internet search and internet traffic as a secondary thing. But at first, you know, get enough clients to keep the business running, you know, make it worth having your doors open, and then we can look from there. And so, you know, I would say that you can get your, I mean, most of us live in some community that we might be able to let them know about our business, or find ways to do that, and then be able to get our clients that way. You know, I think that if you're really, really focused on getting them online, you know, I think definitely paid advertising is probably the fastest way to do it, but it does take a budget and it does take a skill set to be able to do that. It also isn't necessarily as immediately effective for high ticket services or very personal services. Like, most of the time when people are searching for a primary care physician, they're not going onto Google and clicking the ads, typically. You know, they're looking for referrals, they're looking for endorsements from people that they know. And so if we remember that before the internet, we all were involved in, you know, commerce transactions, and we all kind of looked to start there initially, and then bring on the internet as the next level, that can be a faster way for new businesses to get clients.
I like that. Very smart. Very correct. Excellent. All right. Let's see. What about, you're owning a business, you're running the business. Let's talk about balancing all of these aspects, because for an entrepreneur, he has to do everything. What would you have to say about that, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So the thing about it is that when you first start your business, what you need to focus on is different than what you have to focus on later. So I'll kind of talk about the different phases, if that's all right.
If we look at a new
business, what you really need to focus on is getting clients and keeping your expenses down. So you want to find the most cost-effective way to get those clients and start building in some profitability for yourself. So that's what you need to focus on first. You know, I think always it's important as entrepreneurs that we take care of ourselves physically and mentally as well. So you want to make sure that you are eating well, getting exercise, all those things that your doctor would recommend for you. When you have a business that's slightly more mature, like you maybe have, you know, a set of core clients, or you start to look at expansion beyond that, what you need to focus on is still profitability, keeping your expenses down, but then you want to start looking at outsourcing or seeing if there's a way to replicate or extend yourself. And that was actually something that was definitely a challenge for me. There came a point where I needed to hire help to let my business grow. But because I had become so accustomed to doing everything myself, I found it really difficult to imagine that someone else could do it, you know, as well as me or even better than me. And it wasn't arrogance. It was actually genuine kind of puzzlement. Like, I had grown this business from nothing, so how could somebody just come in now and pick it up and go? But I remember kind of the turning point for me was one day that I had planned to put up a sales page for a program that I was launching. And I'm reasonably tech savvy, but for whatever reason, I think it's because I needed the lesson that the day provided, but for whatever reason, that day I could not get it to work. I started at 10 o'clock, and I could not get the layout to work, and I couldn't get the formatting to work. And it was something like 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock that day, and I had spent 6 or 8 hours on this thing, and it still wasn't finished. That I finally said to myself that, okay, maybe I'm not as good at this as I thought I was, and maybe there's somebody who can do it better than I can. And so that was that's what led me to actually hiring the first assistant that I had, and we definitely learned together. But that was a huge turning point, because all of a sudden, you know, she could be spending an hour or two building these pages, and I could be working on other stuff. You know, and I think the turning point is always, as a business owner, you sit there and you think, well, I don't think I have the money to pay somebody XYZ number of dollars to do it because I'm doing it myself. But once you understand that you can pay them and you can be generating more money than you're paying them, it starts to look very, very attractive. So I think that's kind of the second phase. And then I think the third phase, when your business matures even further, is you have your team in place, you have kind of a core set of services or products that you sell, and then I think after that, the next level is to create leverage and to look at technology and automation. It really depends how large you want your business to be, but at that point, I think it's really about stabilizing the way that you bring on new clients, your lead generation. It's about improving your campaigns, so conversion, optimization, and it's about looking at how you can, you know, continue to grow your results. And even if not necessarily you want your business to grow, you know, past a certain point, that then you look at, well, how can I work less and still make the same amount of money? So there's always a way to be improving your business as you go, and the factors are different depending at what stage of business you're in.
Wow, very cool. Excellent. Good phases, good tips. It's always a little scary, I think, hiring someone at first to take over part of the business. And then after a while, it's like, how could I live without it?
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, that was definitely my experience too. And it's happened for a lot of clients that I've worked with that, you know, it's hard to make that first hire, that first agreement to work with someone. But once you do and you realize that they've gotten something done in the time that you've been working on something else, it's kind of like, you know, it's like the heavens open up and you're like, wow, this is amazing. I can't believe it.
Very cool. Very cool. Excellent. Rachna, tell us about your book, please, Internet Marketing for the Rest of Us. And the tagline, I believe, is your in-depth guide to profitable popularity.
Yes. So this is a book that I wrote as kind of a reaction to all of the get-rich-quick internet marketing advice. It's really written for people who want to build a sustainable business on the internet. So I tend to work with professionals who are highly educated, so they're MDs, PhDs, things like that, and they're looking to build, you know, consulting or coaching businesses typically. That's not the only people I work with, but that tends to be a high percentage of my clientele. And what the book was born from was a series of conversations that I had where my clients were feeling really unhappy with sort of all of the internet marketing they thought they had to do. They were looking at sort of the business opportunity type internet marketing campaigns, and they were saying, ooh, that feels really yucky. I don't want to do that for my professional business or my professional practice. And so I basically wrote the book as a way of kind of saying that the internet marketing can be for the rest of us too. It can be for those of us who, you know, maybe aren't looking to make $5 million just by pressing one button, although, you know, it would be great, but I don't think that happens very, very often. So really looking to use the internet as a tool in our toolkit, but that we have a larger strategy. And so the book, even though it's about internet marketing, it's actually about the strategy of how to think about internet business. So it talks about developing a strategy and then finding the tools that you need. It talks about the idea of focusing on profitability, which I know I've mentioned many times here. It talks about understanding the different social networks that you're part of. It talks about how to monetize your content. It also talks a lot about the idea of being clear. And that is such a simple concept, but it's not always that easy. You know, many times entrepreneurs set goals, and the goals are not specific and they're not clear. So I want to make more money, or I want to make, you know, $100,000 this year. But they don't actually have a pathway or a framework of how to get clear on all the steps that it would take to get from wherever they are to that particular goal. And so I talk a lot about that you really shouldn't take action until you're really clear about what you're trying to do and what the action steps actually are. And if you take the time to get clear, it will reduce a lot of frustration and a lot of, you know, lost time and unproductive time. Because that was the other complaint that I heard a lot, that people would say, well, I want to grow my followers on Facebook, so I have to learn everything there is to know about Facebook marketing before I can even do anything. And I'm very much of the school that you learn enough to get going, and then you learn kind of on the job, or you learn, you know, you learn as you go. And so the book is, you know, it's I've written several other books, but it is definitely probably the book I'm the most proud of, only because it feels like it's really grown from my own journey and my own wisdom and my own experiences in working with clients. And so, you know, I consider it a reasonably timeless book because it's not really about fads. I don't talk a lot about this platform or that platform, but from the information in the book, you'll know how to assess the platforms that you might use, or you'll know how to assess the technology and tools better so that you can have better results.
I like that. Sounds very interesting. Where can we get the book, please? At your website,
sure.
ProfitablePopularity.com?
Yes, that's absolutely where you can get it, and I'd be happy. I send out autographed copies there, so if you wanted an autographed copy, definitely you can get it from my website there.
Very cool. That's ProfitablePopularity.com. And forgive me, I don't have that website open right this second, but someone can inquire about your marketing services there and perhaps get a consultation from you and so forth. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. And there's a contact form on the website. So if you have any questions or would like any more information, you can definitely just use that form to get in touch with me.
Awesome. Excellent. I'd like to do something that's not new, but something that I've thought of today about the subject of willpower. And even though we've touched perhaps on some of those aspects, maybe just a little bit, you know, I see too many people fail at something and not get up. You know, they don't persist. They try something different. They try this. They try that. And you're very successful. You've done multiple businesses. You've helped many clients. So in terms of you personally, I have a couple of questions. What keeps you going? What makes you keep on no matter what, regardless of life's failures, big or small? Perhaps it's a quote that, or something like that that runs through your head. Could you give us some insights inside your successful world about this, please?
Sure. So I actually have two quotes that I really, really like, and I remember often whenever I need a boost or a little bit of inspiration. So the first is from Nietzsche, and the quote is, "He who has a why can withstand any how."
Hmm.
And the quote really talks about the idea that if you know why you're doing something and you have a why that's really important and a why that really matters to you, you can kind of withstand whatever it takes to get there. And so I think that that's a really important step to take in your entrepreneurial journey, is to think about why it is you want to do this and to keep searching until you find that thing that really lights you up and fires you up. For me, in my work that I do, one of my most favorite things is to help clients make more money from things they were already doing. So it's like to improve their results, or, you know, get them better results with less effort. So anytime I can find a place where clients can do that, it makes them happy, it makes me really happy, and it makes me feel like, you know, this is why I do this work, and it gives me motivation to kind of keep going. So that's one quote that's really meaningful to me. The second quote is by Emerson, and the quote is, "All life is an experiment, and the more experiments you make, the better." And so that reminds me to be playful and to realize that, you know, everything is just a test. Everything is just a chance to try and see how things go. And the goal is to try as many things as you can, because you learn, you know, you learn the most that way. And so it's a really good antidote for perfectionism, too. So if you find yourself paralyzed or unable to move forward, it's a good way to remember that it's not really that serious. It's just a test. It's just an experiment. So those two quotes are really, really helpful. And then the third thing I will add is, from the psychology literature about willpower, what that says is that willpower is a limited quantity for all of us, that it's basically like a muscle that gets fatigued. And so the idea is that you can be successful in a particular direction as long as you're not trying to have willpower about too many things at once. So I know that from the study that I've done. And so what that moves me to do is, it moves me to have very few, very important goals all at one time. So when I launch an initiative for my business, I focus on that until I get the results I want, and I protect myself against being scattered and going in too many directions, because I know that if I have to keep putting effort forward, I'm going to run out of horsepower if I'm spread too thin. And part of the reason for that is because we only have a certain amount of kind of psychological capacity to keep working on a goal in a straight line. So we really need to focus as entrepreneurs about what's most important in the time that we have.
Very interesting, very interesting. I totally can see being scattered. I think willpower also is a little bit like adrenaline. It's there if you just use it. You know, you have to know that it's there to use it. I mean, if you took somebody as an analogy who is very tired and just ready to go to sleep and just tired, and you gave them some great news, I don't know, your favorite stars outside the door or outside on the street, that person would just jump up all of a sudden, wouldn't be tired anymore. So to me, it's like it's there. You don't necessarily know it's there, but if you just tap into it, you find that it's there. Perhaps
yes.
There's a better way to say it, but yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think in general, we all have more capacity than we think we do. And I think that's kind of what you're describing, that if we can, you know, find a way to tap into the energy and resources that we all have internally for ourselves, you know, we can definitely achieve more than we might imagine.
Thank you. Well said. Great. And speaking of quotes, Dr. Jane, I pulled some inspirational quotes from people about success and so forth. And at this point in our show, it's time now. I'd like to read these out and have your comments about them, all right?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So let's see. First one is Mary Kay Ash, founder of Mary Kay Cosmetics. She said, "Go that extra mile that failures refuse to travel. It is far better to be exhausted from success than to be rested from failure."
Totally love this woman, and I completely agree. There's nothing better than being tired from creating something that you wanted to create, or from creating results that you've wanted to create. So you know, there are times where you're going to have to work really, really hard. And there are times where you're going to have to give it all and kind of, you know, go out of balance in your life. Like maybe you won't sleep as much, or maybe you'll eat a little poorly, or maybe you'll, you know, not hang out and watch TV with your family or something. But the thing is as long as overall that balance is out, it's worth it. It's worth it to bring everything you have to creating the success you want.
Beautiful. Very cool. You got it. Here's the next one. Richard Branson, founder of Virgin Enterprises, said, "Business opportunities are like buses. There's always another one coming."
Yeah, and that was a quote that I wish I knew like early on when I started my business. Because, you know, I think that when you're new to business and business seems a little bit mysterious, like you're not exactly sure how clients are finding you, you're not sure how long they're going to stay, you're not sure how long, you know, when you'll get another one, that kind of thing, there's a feeling that you have to hold on really tightly to everybody that you have. Even sometimes people who aren't good fits for your business, or who, you know, who change or evolve and you're not a good match anymore. And so I really like this quote a lot, because it gives you a sense that you can pick and choose your opportunities, and you don't have to be afraid that there won't be another bus coming. So really, really like this quote.
Very cool. Well said. Right on. There's the next one. Debbie Fields, the founder of Mrs. Fields Cookies, which I truly love those cookies. She said, "The important thing is not being afraid to take a chance. Remember, the greatest failure is to not try. Once you find something you love to do, be the best at doing it."
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, it's like a saying that I remember reading, that it's better to regret failing at something than regretting never have tried it in the first place. And I think that this quote really talks about the idea that we have to have courage to risk. We have to be willing to go after our idea, go after something that we want, and realize that, you know, whatever happens along the way, you know, at least we're in the arena. At least we're playing the game, or we're fighting the fight. And then I think also the second part of the quote speaks to the idea that we really need to focus our energies and focus our efforts, because she says, you know, when you find something that you love to do, be the best at doing it. And we definitely see that people who are experts at anything tend to find it easier to build profitable businesses, because most people, given a choice, would rather work with an expert in one thing than somebody who's kind of good at a lot of things.
So true. Right on. Very correct. You got it. Excellent. Okay, here's the next one. Mr. Henry Ford, he said, "When everything seems to be going against you, remember that the airplane takes off against the wind, not with it."
Yes, absolutely. And so this quote makes me think about the idea of building stamina for our business and endurance, right? Because the thing is that even if something or some things are going really, really badly, you know, things are like seem to be, the sky seems to be falling, or things are kind of caving in, the truth is the longer you're in business, you will see that that is just part of a cycle. That, you know, for most businesses, there's an evolution process that happens where old clients fall away, you know, and there might be gaps in your income while old clients fall away before new ones come. And the thing is that if you can remember that everything is a cycle, everything shifts, everything changes, that this too shall pass, and you can have the stamina and endurance to realize that, you know, as long as you're out there and you keep doing the things that you know how to do, you're doing things to the best of your ability, all of the friction and all of the resistance is actually going to help you get more lift ultimately.
That's quite right. That's very, very right. And yes, it's interesting about the cycle too, that sometimes these things are in cycles and we sometimes forget that and think that maybe it's it. But no, the opportunities, chances, they will come back if you keep at it. That's very good.
And yeah, and you know, and one thing about that I do is I actually chart out things like that. So if I'm experiencing a lull in my business, I'll actually mark how long that lasts and when it starts to shift, so that I have a historical kind of record that I can go back and I can say, oh, well, look, last time this happened, it went on for a week or it went on for 2 weeks or something. And I find personally that that gives me just comfort to see the cyclical nature of it and to know that, you know, a week or 10 days goes by and then things start to pick up again. And that helps a lot when it seems like more clients are leaving or ending than clients are coming in. But it just helps to have some patterns in your own business that you can refer back to.
Very interesting. Very true. And I think you'll also see a pattern in the amount that one promotes and communicates to get clients, to push and promote one's business. There is a ratio between how much you communicate, and I'm not talking about every second, but just how much communications one sends out, as opposed to then there's a cycle of more and more income and business results from that, and there's a ratio and proportion to it. So I always find that very helpful. Things seem to be going slow as far as incoming, that means I just have to push out more, and then it just kind of, as a cycle, just kind of reciprocals back. It's very interesting.
Yes. Absolutely. I totally agree. And for the most part, most businesses under communicate rather than over communicate. So most businesses, there's a tolerance built in that they could communicate more with people about their offerings than they are.
Very interesting. Cool. All right. And the last quote from Ray Kroc, founder of McDonald's. He said, if you're not a risk taker, you should get the hell out of business. I love that.
Well, you know, this is the part that's funny. I agree with that to a point, but the way that I would adjust it, if I could a little bit, would be to say that if you're not a risk taker, you have to find a way to get the same results that risk takers do.
Absolutely.
So, you know, so it's not that you are free or freed from having to create the results, but you do have some flexibility in how you do them. So in my own experience, when I shared that I was too shy to go to networking events and build my psychology business face-to-face, I didn't say that, well, I can't market, or I'm not going to do anything. I went sideways, and I said, well, let me learn about internet marketing. And I'm actually an expert in search engine optimization. So I said, I learned by trial and error on my own website. So I started doing that so that I could have the benefits of the networking that I couldn't do. But, you know, I still did something. And so I think that the idea is that if you're not a risk taker inherently, you know, and some of us are not all the way through, then you just have to find a way to still get the same results in a way that works for you.
Yes, 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 yes. And you have to, if it's something you want to do, if it's your passion, you have to persist and realize there are risks to take. That's part of the cycle of the business. If you want to do that business, if you want to get out there, there are going to be risks. You know, I think of case in point, Colonel Sanders, Kentucky Fried Chicken. I seem to think that he pitched his business idea 96 or 97 times. Can you imagine being told no 96 or 97 times? No, no, no. And then the 98th was yes. And Kentucky Fried Chicken is, you know, it's an institution now. It's, you know, he took a lot of risk. He put a lot on the line, but it paid off because he refused to give up. So,
yeah, absolutely. And even like Mark Victor Hansen, who wrote, he's a co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul. I believe that he pitched his book 300 times and nobody would pick it up. And then he ended up taking his book in the trunk of his car, and he went up and down the coast of California and like spoke to people and met people and handed out the book. And then that became, you know, a multi best-selling book franchise. And so it's really, you know, it's really the idea that we never know how close we are to success. And we just need to find a way to keep going till it finds us and we find it.
That's right. I believe Mark's collection of books sold over 100 million copies. That is just like mind-boggling.
Yes, so, and especially when it starts with like very humble beginnings, you know, with him driving up and down the coast of California, selling them out at the back of his car. So, yeah, I mean, you know, and that's somebody who really believed in his idea and really, you know, and he was willing to risk failure, you know, on the way to success. So.
That's right. Well, awesome. Thank you very much, Rachna. Thank you for your input. That was very stimulating and interesting on some of those quotes.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. That was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Good. All right. Well, we're close to wrapping up. Is there anything else that you would like our audience to know about, please?
Yeah, the only thing I would say is that, you know, wherever you are in business right now, you know, just go forward with a positive attitude because you'll be smarter, faster, and better tomorrow than you are today. And the idea is just to keep going and creating what it is you want to create.
I like that. You'll be better tomorrow. I like that. It's simple, but it indicates. I like that. Very
good.
Well, thank you very, very much. It's been wonderful. It's been pleasurable. I loved having you on the show. It was stimulating, provocative. It was great.
Yeah, thanks so much, Tony. It was wonderful. I had a really nice time.
Well, good. Well, thank you. Thank you. And once again, Dr. Jane's website is profitablepopularity.com. All right. Well, thank you again, everyone. And stay tuned to our next show on Revenue Chat. We're going to have Tom Hunt. He got his master's degree in chemistry, which gave him a short-lived 3 years employment. He discovered he could make far more helping entrepreneurs achieve their dream and never looked back. He says, let's make it happen. And we'll help give you a lot of advice to build your dream business on the next episode of Revenue Chat. Okay, well, this is Tony D'Urso brought to you by Easy Sales Procedures. Get the book, Easy Sales Procedures, for you and all your business contacts at TonyDURSO.com. All right. Thanks again, everyone. And until next time, remember, you can make life better for yourself and everyone. Choose wisely. Hi, this is Tony D'Urso, author of the new book, Easy Sales Procedures. You know, in my career, I've made impressive record-breaking sales forays into real estate, collectibles, insurance technology, and other varied industries. My accomplishments include raising $3.25 million in a six-month period. Now, despite what we've been told, sales is an art. There are sales procedures that can be applied precisely as a science, but in essence, it's truly an art. There are fundamentals that you need in place that will help you with your sales, marketing, and business. Get Easy Sales Procedures to help put your business into proper perspective. You know, too many people seem to make sales complicated. Hey, it's easy. All you need are some basics and three words: open, agree, and get. That's it. That's EasySalesProcedures.com. This book will endow you with the simple truths at the core of being a sales master, and also contains salesman training drills that, when practiced, demonstrate how to interest any person in anything. These simple procedures can be applied by anyone from any walk of life, because in modern day society, every person is involved in interesting or selling someone something. That's Easy Sales Procedures. Get your copies now at a low price from EasySalesProcedures.com. Order enough for all your employees, too. Here's to volume sales success for your life and business.